managing that money so that it's actually going to do something with your life and not just be, I made $1 million and I have no idea where it went.
Welcome to the Booked Out with Bree podcast. I'm your host, Bree Kane, and I'm a mom of three young girls who decided to unapologetically claim my dream life, the six-figure business, the freedom to have random ice cream dates with my girls at 1 p.m., or hire a babysitter for some alone time. I help women and moms claim all of themselves, be all of themselves, and live their biggest, boldest lives unapologetically. If you're ready to book out your business and your life with joy, fun, and ease, let's jump into this episode.
All right, you guys, I am so excited for today's episode. I have a very special guest with me, someone that I've known for nearly a year now and has become just a very important part of my life and my business and all the things. And I just adore this person. I'm so excited for you guys to meet her. And one of the reasons that I wanted her to come on and for us to have this conversation for all of you is because we always talk about making money in business, but what happens when you start making money? And Bree, who's here with me today, is a money expert. She's a bookkeeper and she's also a financial coach. So she teaches women not only how to generate more money, how to maximize profit, but what do you do with your money once you start making it? So Bree, I'm so happy that you're here.
I'm so excited to be here. I talk all things money, and I think it's so important for every female business owner and business owner out there to talk about money. We don't ever talk about money, and it's a very big part of our lives.
Very much. I just realized something funny too. I'm like, this is the Bree show today.
It is.
Bree squared. Yes. Amazing. Let's back up a little bit. Tell me and tell us how you found yourself in the world of money and like why you're so passionate about it in your life and in everyone else's lives too.
Yeah, I can't pinpoint the exact moment in my life that everything changed, but I can tell you that when we got married, me and my husband, and we had our first house, we were like, where's all our money going? It was like that shock of we make too much to be this poor. And that, I think, just that season of our life was really the changing point and made me extremely passionate about this work. And it wasn't until a couple of years later that I actually started my business. And now it's flourished into bookkeeping and financial coaching. And that is the name of the game with business owners is you need to have your numbers and know your numbers, which is the bookkeeping side. But then you also need to know what to do with the money and how to actually manage it, which is going to be that coaching side of it.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this conversation today is because even in my own business journey, I have invested six figures or more into coaching. And literally, I think I have yet to hear a coach say, let's talk until recently, let's talk about margins and profitability and looking at the numbers. Like everyone talks about making money, but there's a very important other factor that goes into making money too, is are you actually holding on to your money? Are you maximizing your money? Are you setting yourself up for the future? Do you want to talk a little bit like just about that? I'm like, why are not more people talking about profit margins?
I think for me, it's nobody's talking about it because it's that like taboo thing of not actually talking about how much money you make. People talk about, we're a six-figure business. We're a seven-figure business. We've made $1 million. But the thing is, they're not telling you the bottom line. They're telling you like, this is what they grossed. This is the money that came into the business. If they made $1 million and spent $1 million, that's a $0 business. There's no money left over. And so the reason like I'm so passionate about it is because I want you to have margins. We don't just make money to spend it all. We want to manage it well. We want to actually use it to improve our lives, improve other people's lives. Whether that's hiring a team, hiring out and having other people that are now being able to financially benefit off of the business, and then also improving your own home life because you're probably making more money than you were at your typical 9-to-5 job. I know that's the case for a lot of us entrepreneurs, and managing that money so that it's actually going to do something with your life and not just be, I made $1 million and I have no idea where it went.
Absolutely. I've seen this too. And I would, in full transparency, this is something I'm actively working on because as a business grows, then you're like, oh, I need more team. Oh, I'm going to add this to my program. There's another expense, like all these things. And then suddenly you're like, wait a second. And yeah, I'm just like, this is so important. These conversations need to happen more. Can you walk us through a little bit? I know you have a really cool story of how you transformed your own life through the things that you now teach your clients and support your clients with.
Yeah, my big thing is every single person that I talk to about money management, you have to start with dreaming. You have to start at the end. What are you envisioning the end to look like, or the process to look like? Do you want to, I know you and I are horse people. I want a bigger farm. Maybe your dream is really to live in the city, live in Hawaii, whatever that is. What is your dream? And when I walk anybody through it, what me and my husband did when we first started was really dreaming, not talking about the money. You can't talk about the money when you do this part. You have to just think abundantly and think about, what do you want for your life to be in full fulfillment of your life and really be on the path that you want to be on? What does that look like? And then backtracking and really figuring out the steps that are going to get you there. We went through our debt payoff journey. And I always say each of these sections are journeys. The money management in its wholesome is a journey. But we had our money journey of paying off our debt, getting our household squared away so that we were maximizing our income. When we talk about debt demolition, we're not talking about just paying off the debt to stack it back up again. We're talking about paying it off so that you have more income to go towards those things that are going to get you to your dream life. And then really simplifying. You know me, I'm all about automating, all about simplifying. I do not want to sit there and pay bills. I know I'm a bookkeeper, but that's not my jam. I would like everything to just be handled and it's effortless. I know all of my money is there to pay all of my bills and they automatically get charged. And then we pay off the credit card every single month. There's no interest that we pay and we get to benefit off of those points, off of the airline miles, whichever kind of a card you have, and really maximizing your options. And that's really, I know that's super simplified, but really going through those processes of getting yourself set up for success, as well as automating and simplifying so it's less stress on you, because who wants to stress about money? And then moving forward to investing or saving for that house and really those more focused and more personal goals, I would say, than the general census around saving your 3 to 6 months emergency fund, paying off your debt. Those are those core things, but then you get to focus on the things that excite you.
Yes. And what I love about your approach is that it's the opposite of Dave Ramsey, where it's sell your child and never go out to eat and don't enjoy life until you have this figured out. You have really cracked the code on how to still live this full, beautiful life while getting your finances in order. And also the automation piece, like really cracked the code on that. So you're not having to spend, you know, an hour each day, like digging through numbers and like feeling guilt and shame around it. Like it just happens. As it's effortless.
Yeah. And I love that we talk about, I am not the Dave Ramsey method. And I think back to when we first started on our journey, I had a horse already. I had that 30-year mortgage. I had debt. We had all of these things that we were told that we needed to get rid of to be able to, we had to sacrifice to get to where we wanted to. And I was like, there's no way. I can't imagine selling my horse. Hello, horses are expensive. They're not cheap. And really, that was a priority for me. He is my happy place. That was the thing that I wanted to spend my money on. That was my going out to eat, going out to a restaurant. That was the money piece that I was like not willing to sacrifice. That was, there has to be another way to do this. And there was. Did it maybe take us a couple months longer? Maybe, but we actually paid off before we actually thought we would. And that's where the magic happens. You got to live your life and accomplish the goals typically faster than you would have if you didn't do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm giggling inside right now because I feel like us horse girls will do anything. I remember when I was in my 20s and it was like just starting my career. I wasn't making a ton. And I would literally just buy all my clothes at the consignment store so that I could afford my horse habit. Like, I'm perfectly happy doing that as long as I can ride.
100%. Yeah, we actually, the reason we picked the house that we did originally was to bring my horse home. And actually that cut our costs. That's why I say you have to look at the bigger picture. It can't just be so cookie cutter of sell everything. Don't have a 30-year mortgage. Because when I looked at the cost of our rent plus the essentially boarding your horse, which is renting for your horse, it was double what our mortgage was. Yes. And to me, it was like a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Keep the house, keep the horse, and we're still saving money.
Keep the house and the horse. I love it. Life's priorities. Amazing. Okay, let's talk about business, because I know a lot of the women that listen to my podcast are business owners or aspiring business owners. So let's talk about different phases. Let's start with someone who's new to business, maybe just launching, in the process of launching, just starting to monetize. What are some of the key financial aspects, like profitability pieces, that you would advise for this person?
So anybody starting out, I always ask them, what's your goal? Is your goal for the business to make money off the bat, or is your goal to maybe invest more into the business than you're making to grow it and scale it quickly? You have to be able to determine which one you want to go with, because it's going to determine the answer. Because if you are like, nope, I need the money more than I need the leverage, then my question to you and my focus for you is, what expenses are really necessary? Keeping those expenses low when you're first starting out and you need to have income, the more expenses that you put into your business, the more you have to make on the top line to actually make more on the bottom line. And so if you can keep those expenses really low, then you're going to have more profitability, more money that you can take home personally, and you have that a little bit more open. But if you're on the opposite side, where maybe you're working your 9-to-5 and your business at the same time, and you really want to leverage tools and systems and platforms, and I use Go High Level now, and I used Dubsado before, and leveraging those different systems that are going to save you time, and that's more of a priority for you, is starting that out in the beginning, then just know your profit margins are going to be lower. And you have to be okay with that, because as you bring on more clients, as you bring in more income, you're going to get that bottom line. It's just figuring out what your priority is in the business. I know I started my business when I worked my 9-to-5. So I didn't need that income per se, and I invested it back into the business. And the first year I still netted positive, but it was very low. I didn't take any actual cash from the business. It was just, it maintains itself and it funded itself. As the years have gone on, yes, I've still invested back into business, but I also keep a very close pulse on how much is the profit, and I pay myself first. So every single time like that money comes in, I say, nope, what do I need for the personal life? And that money goes to the personal, and then everything else is what the business gets to use for its funds.
So good. So essentially, for the person that's newer in business, it's, what are your goals? How fast do you want to get there? Do you need the money, or can you leverage the income to grow faster? And there's no right or wrong.
No. And I have business owners that do both ways. And some of them are like, I need at least $500 to come in to pay for daycare. Cool. Make sure we have the $500, then leverage all the money that's after that. And it's really just figuring out like what your goal is, what your priority is, and then backtracking and really figuring out like, what does that process look like for the business?
I love this. I love this. And it just makes me reflect on my business journey. And I think I did it both ways, because I used like Facebook to host the programs, and a ConvertKit was like $15 a month. And then I think for me, what I invested in the most was my own skills and education and mentorship, mm-hmm. to like learn how to grow quickly. And that really paid off. But I mean, it's all forward facing. I think just deciding the priorities and like playing the long game, or do you need to bring in cash like right now?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think some people, if you're on maternity leave and like your goal is to leave when that comes up, your focus would be on the income side, bringing in enough income so that you don't have to. So maybe that means you have to not leverage as many systems, and you have to do things a little bit more manual, and it takes you maybe a little bit more time, but it'll save you on the money aspect. And so you're going to pay in time, or you're going to pay in money, and you just have to decide which one you want to do.
Yeah, I love this. Okay. So that was for the newer person in business. Let's talk about someone who's right around the six-figure mark. What things do they need to focus on? What things do they need to shift now that they're making consistent money?
So once you're making consistent money, we want to look at your like programs, your ROI. What are we actually earning on all of these different programs? Is there a positive? Is it a negative? Are some programs doing better than others? Maybe why is that? And really diving into where the money is coming from, because I've seen it many times again that business owners are continually selling the same things they've been selling the whole time they've been in business. And there's typically a few of them that are making them negative money, meaning the expenses associated with those programs or those services cost more than the money that is actually bringing in. And so you have to ask yourself, what is really a priority? Is it to keep the thing that's been here forever, or is it to evolve and shift with the growing demands and really focus on that ROI and that profitability? We want to make sure that all the programs you have are profitable on their own, not that the whole business is profitable.
This is good. I feel that so much too, because it's as your business grows, as you grow personally, and with that, your energy and attention and what lights you up evolves too. And it's like the things maybe that worked and maybe are still working, but is it like in alignment with where you're going? And it just, it's wild. Business is wild. It's like this life journey of just change and growth and following what makes you feel alive.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is like, just because I feel like a lot of the times businesses will hold on to those things that they started with because it's what helped them get to where they are now. And it's not that we're trashing it, we're saying it was horrible, but it was there and it served you for the season of life that you were in. And it may not be in alignment to continue doing that thing. It doesn't mean it was bad. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have done it. It just means that it has served its purpose during its time, and it's now time to change and evolve with business.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Okay, now let's talk about the seven-figure entrepreneur. What shifts, or what are they focusing on that's different from the six-figure or the someone who's newer in business?
So the seven-figure business owners, I am all about, what's your long-term game? What do you envision? You are not going to want to work the rest of your life, I would assume, until you die. And so what does that long-term wealth look like to you? Does that mean you're selling your business? Does that mean you are passing it down to your kids? Does that mean it's evolving? What's the purpose of the business at that point? Where is it going long-term? And really aligning where you want it to go long-term to now. So maybe that is automating it so that your business runs itself. That's hiring in your C-suite space. You're hiring that marketing person that's going to be your chief marketing person. You're hiring that operations person that's going to oversee all of those. And you're only overseeing maybe four people. And that time commitment is much less. So you're able to have more time freedom. And it's really building that empire that's going to continue. Or are you looking to sell the business? So I have some business owners that are like, I want to grow it to the point of selling it. That means we want to make sure our profit margins are good. Our business actually has a positive net worth, not a negative net worth, meaning you don't have credit cards that are sitting out there to pay for everything. You have ample amount of cash flow. This business is worth $250,000, whatever it is. Being able to turn around and sell the business, get yourself the cash, invest it, and then live off of that for your life. So it really depends on which way you want to go about it.
So good. So good. This makes me think too, talking through, because I get this question a lot, especially in mom to VA, you're ready to launch a new business. EIN to LLC to S Corp. Can you walk everyone who's listening through that process of what are these three things that I just said? And when do you know which it's time for which?
Yeah, pretty much in any state, you can get a DBA, which is a doing business as, or you can get an LLC, meaning your legal limited liability. The biggest difference is the legal separation. There's no tax difference between being a DBA, which is a sole proprietor, and being a LLC. They're both put on your personal tax return on a Schedule C, no difference at all. With both of those, you can get what's called an EIN number. It's essentially a social security number for that business name. It's like the easiest way to explain it. You can get it for free, so please don't pay for it. There's lots of things out there that will say, oh, we'll file it for you, and it's like $100, $200. It's completely free. Go to the IRS website, you enter in all of the business information, the business name, and then it'll issue you a EIN number, which is the number that you will use for all of your banking, your Stripe, your PayPal, all of those things that funnel through the business. And that is how the IRS tracks the income that comes in under that number. So That just essentially attaches it to your business name. Then what you have is an S corp, which is a tax election. So that is something that you can elect on an LLC. And this is a great tax benefit for business owners that are netting a significant amount of money, meaning $60,000+, depending on the business. And this by no means is like a cut and dry option. You want to talk to a professional, find out exactly what your business is doing and the projections before you make a decision on an S corp. Once you elect for an S corp, your business is now its own entity, and you actually have a separate tax return for your business that then flows to your personal return. But for the business owners that are making 6-7 figures, this can be a great way to save on taxes and really maximize that profitability. Less money paid in taxes means more money in the business. Maybe that's hiring another person or saving the profit. And so anytime you're looking at an S corp, talk with your bookkeeper, talk with your tax professional, and get that second set of eyes, because there are a couple additional requirements and a couple additional things that you do have to do every single year to keep up with the requirements of the S corp that are in addition to your regular ones with your LLC.
Love this. Also, you'll be proud of me, Brie. I just set myself up on payroll because we just moved over to S corp.
Yay!
Yesterday. Oh my gosh, it's official.
It's official. And it's exciting when everybody feels like when you start your business, your income just comes through as the business owner. But like when you switch to an S corp, you're now an employee. It's like you're switching back to that employee pay. And it's really fun though, because you get your steady paychecks again and you get your profits. And yeah, it just adds like a little wrench into it. But it's fun because you get to decide on how much money you're going to leave in the business and how much you're going to take in the personal, and really the opportunities are endless. And don't shy away from an S corp just because you're nervous about it. Just have that I talk about having your financial team, have those people beside you that are going to help you with those decisions. Don't make them alone. Nobody should ever have to make those decisions alone when your genius is not that side of things.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the things looking back to, I'm like, I wish Brie is my bookkeeper, by the way, everyone. She's amazing. If you need a bookkeeper, when I started making money in the business, I was like, I'll just track and manage these. And then I kept growing. I'm like, oh, I need help. And I wish I had hired a bookkeeper sooner. I hired you sooner. So that's one of the things too, when we're talking through as your business starts monetizing, is investing in a good bookkeeper will really help you make more money and help you keep more money, because you know exactly where your numbers are going. And also then you don't have to worry for tax time. And if you have subcontractors, Brie or whoever you hire can help with the 1099 filings, all of that. I'm like, what a weight off of your shoulders. You get to show up in leadership as the CEO of your business in your true zone of genius.
Yeah, I think it's huge. And I know you talk about it all the time, is hire early, hire before you need it. And I find that a lot of people don't hire soon enough for a bookkeeper. And my thought on that is, I think it's because there's not a direct ROI. We're not out there getting you clients, but we are allowing you to really see how to maximize your business. And knowing that is huge, because if your ad spend is $1,000 and your ROI is not good, that's something you want to talk about. That's a way to save money. Maybe you're spending on, I've had it where people forgot about subscriptions. And I was like, hey, you have these couple things that I don't think you use anymore. And right away, they can cancel those and save money. And you're not going to see that direct correlation with your income, but you're going to see that direct correlation with your profitability when you hire a bookkeeper.
Absolutely. Which, I mean, really, it goes back to is like the money that you're actually keeping. And I think too, the intangible, just having that huge weight off your shoulder, like, because mm-hmm. It was something that kept me up at night. And I'm like, I know I need to do this at some point, but I still drug my feet for a little bit. And then once it's in the hands of a professional and they know what they're doing, you're like, oh, tax time is going to be a breeze. And it really is when you have a good bookkeeper and financial team.
Yes, I love it. And you built your team. And I think that's the big thing, is it's not just one person in your financial team. There's a group of us, and having somebody alongside you that can guide you on ensuring you fill all of those seats. It's not just the bookkeeper. It's your CPA, your tax preparer, your payroll rep. Maybe it's a payroll system. What is ever you need, ensuring that you have all of those spots filled.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll make sure that we link your information in the show notes. And then we'll also link Corso Tax. Bree recommended them to me and my husband, and they're amazing. One of the things that I love about them is that they're also tax lawyers. Like, what?
Yes.
So they know all like the ins and outs, and they can maximize taxes and also make sure that you're not going to get in trouble by the IRS. So they're really good. If you're listening and you don't have a solid financial team, you're welcome. Here you go.
Yes, I absolutely love it. I think my favorite part is that it's not a once a year thing with them. They are there to be with you, to help you throughout the whole year, which is why they do the pricing the way they do. And I appreciate that because I haven't found anyone else that offers the packages that they do, where you get that full year of support. You're not going to get, if you ask a question, you're not going to get a bill from them for $300 for the hour that they talk to you. It is all, they want to talk to you. They want to help your business and really guide you on the right ways to do things, which is why I appreciate the way they do things.
That is honestly such a good point. Such a good point. Yeah, it's a one-time retainer fee. It's not even that expensive. I was surprised. And they're with you for the whole year. They help you with your quarterly taxes. And yeah, amazing. Yep. We'll make sure that we link them. Really quick, as we start to think about wrapping this episode up, can you touch on the profit first method? I know that you are an expert in it. And this is something we do teach inside Mom to VA. But it's, yeah, talk about it, because it's revolutionary and not the way I think a lot of business owners think going in right off the bat.
Yeah. So the profit first method, you can definitely grab the book, all the things. There's so many resources out there. I do a modified version of it per se. So there is really different buckets that they essentially give you. You have all your different bank accounts. You put a different percentage away to each of the bank accounts, dependent on your business. The way I do things is I create a custom plan based off of their principles of ensuring that you get paid first. So that's where profit first. We want to make sure that you're taking home the money that you need to for your personal finances before you start paying for your operating expenses and all those things. And what I always recommend is having three bank accounts. So Relay Bank is a great option. We can link it down below. And they allow you to have multiple different checking accounts and really have that profit first method built into your system. They even have people that will help you with setting up all the different accounts. You can also set up rules, all of those things, so that way it automatically does it. Hello, automation, save yourself some time. But I recommend every business owner, even if you're newer in business, have three bank accounts. Start with three. Don't overwhelm yourself. Having too many bank accounts can cause issues in your bookkeeping. And so keeping it simple is the way to go. So have a checking account for your operating expenses, where all your income comes in, all your expenses go out. Have an account for your owner's pay. So how much do you need to make every single month into your personal finances? Put that in there. And then your tax savings, depending on your business, depending on the business structure, depending on the household finances, there's going to be a set percentage that you're going to want to put to that tax every single month. And I say month, not quarter, because if you wait until the end of the quarter, it's going to be too large of a bill for you to grab the cash out for that month. So every single month, put a little bit away into that tax savings. And that way you have the money there to pay those quarterly estimates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to second, Relay is amazing. I switched over in January and you just open one account and then they automatically set you up with the sub accounts and you set up this automation. So for my example, my operating account, everything comes in there and I set it. So when it's at a certain baseline, anything over a percentage goes to taxes and a percentage goes to owner's pay. And it just happens automatically. It's literally amazing.
Yeah. I love their system and they are amazing. Like the company has been great. They always are looking for like feedback and how to improve. And if you open the savings account, like they have a decent interest rate on your savings account, very comparable to your local credit unions. And guys, it's a free banking option. So if you're paying for your business banking right now, there is a no-brainer reason now to not switch.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you're also a financial coach. In addition to your amazing bookkeeping knowledge, can you share a little bit about what you do with financial coaching? I know your big emphasis is building generational wealth, demolishing debt, like making it fun and simple and easy. And you have an amazing program called Master Your Money. Tell us all the things.
Yes. So Master Your Money in 30 Days really came from hearing from female entrepreneurs that really didn't know how to manage their money. They knew the money was coming in, they knew the money was going out, but they never knew exactly where things were going, how much money was going out. They said, hey, there's some in my bank account. seems like we're doing good. And really, we're missing that cash flow piece of it, of really knowing and being able to pinpoint where the money actually went. So did it go, we talk about business and personal. So did it go to groceries? Did it go to daycare? Did it go to that 5 second trip that we stopped at the gas station and had to grab a snack or what have you? It's really putting that pulse on where the money is flowing out. And I talk about finding the leaks. Typically, there's a couple leaks on our finances of figuring out where all of the money went and really having that clear plan of where that money should have gone. And we have a no shame, no blame, no judgment rule. So we can't judge ourselves for where we were, what happened in the past, or have any shame around money, because money is just a tool that's going to take you from where you are now to where you want to go. And how we utilize that is in Mastering Money, simplifying the process. Let's automate our finances. Let's have a resource. I use YNAB. I'm a YNAB gal, and it helps you simplify the way you're managing your money. It helps you know exactly what income did we bring in for the month? Where did it actually go? And it really allows you to track your net worth. And I am a big believer in tracking your net worth, because it's how you see how you're growing in your financial side of your life, business and personal. And within Master Your Money, we talk about everything taking you from 0 to 100 and getting you that plan so that you can build generational wealth for whatever that means to you. Maybe that means leaving a retirement for your kids, paying for college, paying for their wedding, whatever that looks like, creating that plan that's going to allow you to do that with your money.
I love it. And also YNAB, you need a budget, right? That's what it stands for.
Yes. Yes. It means you need a budget. I'll give you the link too. We'll drop that down below.
Ooh, there's going to be so many juicy links in the show notes. I love it. Amazing. To wrap up, what is your biggest tip or takeaway for all business owners as they're starting to think about not just making money, but holding money?
I think my biggest tip is creating a cash flow system. If you look at the statistics out there, most businesses experience cash flow problems at some point, and sometimes that means closing their business. And I never want that for any business owner. So the sooner you start tracking where your cash is going, the better. So start today. It's not too late, but make that decision and just get going.
Oh, so good. So good. Thank you so much, Bree, for coming on. This is amazing. And I think just such an important, needed conversation. If any of you have financial questions, want to chat with Bree, like I cannot, she's definitely not paying me to say this. I just cannot say it enough that she's amazing. And also, I think what I love about you too is they're really like, I think the topic of money can be charged and there can be shame and guilt and, oh, I could have done it better, but you're just all love and support and kindness. And so I just cannot recommend.
That's what it should be. That should be like the top, like it shouldn't even be any, it shouldn't be a question. I know that's like a big money belief is we don't talk about it, but guess what? We're talking about it and there's no shame around it. So I'm so happy to be here and be able to break down that wall for people of money is just a tool, guys. That's all it is.
Yep. Absolutely. It's a means for exchange.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Bree. And thank you everyone for listening in. And we will see you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening in. I'm so excited to hear your takeaways and to connect with you. Come hang with me on Instagram at Hey, it's Bree Kane. Shoot me a DM and let me know your favorite parts of this episode. You can also peek at the show notes for more ways to get in touch, for any links referenced in this episode, or ways to work with me to unapologetically book out your business and your life. Don't forget to leave a rating and review. I love hearing your feedback, and I so appreciate your support in helping us connect and spread the Booked Out mission with women and moms everywhere. I'll see you on the next episode.